Welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian this morning. It's great to have you with us. If you're joining us online, it's great to have you with us too, whether you're now or you're watching later. A number of things are going on this morning. It's our birthday today here at St. Phil Road. Woo! We are 63 today. 63 today, if you didn't know. And we're joining together a little later on in the Lord's Supper, and we're welcoming new members with us too. It's all happening, and we're really excited about all of that. But in and through it all, we are here first and foremost to worship our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So we're going to begin in a moment with some verses from Psalm 113, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's hear these words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Let's take a moment and pray together as we start. Almighty God, our God, we come to exalt you, to praise you, the one who is God over all things, over all the nations. You are the one who is worthy of all our praise. Lord, we come to do that this morning, and some of us come full of life. And others of us, we come feeling empty. But Lord, we all come, whatever our week has been, however we feel, to acknowledge that you are our God. The God who binds up the brokenhearted. The God who leads people in his praise. Lord Jesus, we come to reaffirm our faith and our trust in you. That you lived, that you died, that you rose again for us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would focus our attention on you now. And help us to know that you are with us. Lord, forgive us where we've been distracted. Forgive us where we're conscious that we've fallen short. Instead, center us on you, our great God, Father, Son, and Spirit, as we praise you. We pray in and through the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a couple of songs of praise. Come, people of the risen King, and I praise the name. Do stand and sing, or do remain seated if it's more comfortable for you, or if you want to sit down during the second one. Some people sit, lots of us stand to fill our lungs and sing, but if you want to sit during the second one, that's easier for you. But we're going to sing these two songs of praise to our great God. Let's stand. Folks, take a seat. Take a seat. It's great to sing Rejoicing. It was a great sense during the chorus that we were right there with it. Unfortunately, the computer up there is not playing ball this morning, so rather than try our hand at the second song, which we don't know so well anyway, we'll just stick with ending on Rejoice, Rejoice, Let Every Tongue Rejoice. Listen, it's our 63rd birthday today. So we celebrate around about this time of year, the second or the third weekend in January. I think it's the 11th or the 13th of January, that St. Phil Road is 63 years old, born in 1960. And it's great to rejoice and sing of the God who is faithful and sovereign over us. And the Bible talks about us being a people, God's people, who rejoice with those who rejoice, but also who weep with those who weep. Because a 63-year journey has a lot of ups and downs, and some things that are marvelous and go really well, and some things don't work, and some things don't go well. That's the nature of being a family and a church family, isn't it? There's been a fair bit of that along the way. If you've been in St. Phil Road for a while, you know there's been a fair lot of ups and downs along the way. And even as we start a new year, it's a bit of a roller coaster. I maybe want to start by saying there's been some bad news over this week. Three people from our congregation have died this week. Bobby Copeland and Ronnie Smith and Charlotte Cathcart. And I'll tell you details of their service of Thanksgiving later. But that's quite a hard start for the year, for their families and friends, and for us as a church family. And undoubtedly, there are other people we're remembering today as well. It's maybe an understatement to say there's been quite a lot of sickness around. Particularly, you'll know that Johnny Bell was in hospital at the start of the new year. And then he went in again at the start of this week. And there he is at the minute. I was chatting with him this morning. Johnny's joke was that it was for Andrea, bring your husband into work week. He is under the singular best care in the whole of the country. But it's hard for Andrea and his family, and it's hard for Johnny. He's making some progress, but he'll be in there for a couple of days yet. We're really thankful for all those people who are getting on with things when we don't have Johnny. And do send him messages of encouragement. He loves to hear from people that you're praying for him and that you're encouraging him. Don't expect an answer, though, especially if you're looking for him to type back things that he's typed a couple of hundred times already that day. Don't expect an answer, because some days are good and some days aren't, but do encourage him. If you have any question or matter that relates to Johnny's work, don't hassle him. Come and speak to me about that. We want Johnny to heal and recover really well. And Paul Mooney as well has been off. Mooney, who looks after our church office, suffering and off sick. So do pray for her and message and encourage her the same too. But don't expect the office to be quite functioning at the same level at the moment. And you'll know, and I know, of others who are sick or going through ill health or treatment at the start of a new year. And then we've got the Timothys back. I'm going to give them a little wave. I think they were back last week, but I didn't see them because I wasn't here, so it's great to see them. And it's lovely to have John and Barita and Jonas and Marcus with us, and it's fabulous to see them. But we know we're going to have to say goodbye again in a week's time, and that'll be next week. So we've got all the emotions of a goodbye at the start of a new year. And we'll save that for next week. There is a lunch afterwards to soften the blow, so make sure you've signed up for that, and we'll enjoy lunch together next week. And in fact, I'm going to throw this out there. If anyone could help them a week tomorrow, drive some luggage down to Dublin. If you fancy a little trip to Dublin and back, driving some luggage, they'd love for that. So that would be a brilliant help. Do speak with John or Barita about that. But all of that's quite hard and emotional on your birth, isn't it? A lot of stuff going on. At the same time, we've got lots to celebrate and rejoice in as the year gets going again. Lots of our organizations and programs get going again by the grace of God. Tiny Tots was back. There was about 4,000 people at Tiny Tots on Wednesday. It certainly felt like it when I was in there. Tuesday Break is back. The vibe is all wonderfully back. We had a great turnout at our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. as we prayed around the church. And here we are on our birthday, gathered around the Lord's table, celebrating what Jesus has done for us, and celebrating that we have people joining us as new members of our church. And that's particularly what we want to celebrate today on our birthday. So I'm going to invite them up. Delighted to have John Skates and Sarah Mooney and Jordan Moore going to come and join me up here. Jordan, come on up. Come on up. And over the past wee while, we've been going through a new communicants course, and they're here to join with us in membership today. So Sarah, John, Jordan, just come stand up here. That's good work, Jordan. Stand as far back as you possibly can. come stand up here with me. Stand over that way a little bit so people don't want to see me. They want to see you. So actually, I want to just begin by asking you very simply, very briefly, so it's really lovely to have you. You've kind of been with us for different periods and lengths of time, but all come to this point. And if I can turn this on, just tell us very briefly. Bingo. John, start us off by just telling us, what's brought you to this point?
I think that, well, I've been coming here since about December 2020. I've really enjoyed coming here. I enjoy the service, meeting the people. I've had a very warm welcome. I find it's very uplifting to come here. I feel at times very emotional, and I think there's something working on me. Everybody's a different path to come into church, and I'm just glad I'm where I am now, standing on the stage in front of everybody, to be honest with you.
John, thank you. John, just tell us the same. What brought you to this point? You've been around for a little while. John, actually, can I just take this moment? That was a very special moment just around the new year here. John, what happened?
So Chloe and I got engaged in Paris over Christmas. So.
John, that's very exciting. Can we just put out the classiest men do it outside the Eiffel Tower?
Touché.
Anyway, Jordan, what's enough of that? What's brought you to this point?
Yeah, so I've always gone to church ever since I can remember. So I went to Beaver Parish when I was younger with my dad. And then I always went to, like, Sunday school, went to youth clubs. And then during youth club, I actually became a Christian when I was 14 on, like, a youth weekend away with my church. So it was just such an amazing experience and just so good to be able to give my faith to God and just get prayed for to bring the Holy Spirit into my life. So I continued to go to Beaver Parish, and then whenever I was 18, I became a leader at, like, youth clubs at Beaver Presbyterian, Friday Focus. I met a fellow called Dave Timothy, who we all know. So he introduced me to the young adults, and unfortunately Chris as well. So I ended up going to young adults on a Wednesday night, so that brought me to here. And then through that, I met Chloe, and then after COVID, Chloe and I were discussing about sort of what church or whatever to go to, and Chloe basically said in a nice way, we're not going to Beaver Parish, so that's put me in good stead for the next few months to saying yes to all their suggestions, so that's brought me here today, so it's really great church, and I'm really happy to be here.
John, that's great. Sarah, you've been with us a number of months, great to have you join with us. Just tell us what's brought you to this point.
Well, originally came from St. John's Presbyterian Church, and I'm just really happy to be here and to make Christian friends and worship God.
Sarah, that's great. It's great to have you come and join with us. Thank you. Listen, let me read some words written for such moments as this. They remind us what this is about. These vows that you're about to make, I don't need this, are an expression of God's covenant with his people, God's promises with his people. It's an important milepost on someone's journey as a disciple of Christ. It signifies your commitment to God and his to you. And these vows mark the progress from baptism to being full communicant membership of Christ's church. The vows are about an individual statement of belief in God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and they include commitments you make in his service As such, they're not to be made without careful consideration and counting the cost. And we've done that as we've worked through communicants course together. The taking of these vows marks a moment when someone publicly identifies as a follower of Jesus Christ. They confirm a person's membership of the Church of Christ more widely, and this congregation, St. Paul Road, in particular. So I'm going to ask these questions of you, John, Jordan, and Sarah. As I do, I'm going to invite you all to stand. Stand as we do this. If you've made vows like this before, it's a moment to hear and renew them afresh. If you've not, it's a moment to listen and think, could I make these vows? If not, why not? Where am I with God at the moment? Or would I like to explore that more? But let me ask you these questions. The answer to all of them is, just together, I do. John, Jordan, Sarah, in becoming communicant members of this congregation, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin and as Lord of your life? And depending on the grace of God, do you promise to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And do you commit as a communicant member of this congregation to worship, serve, give, and participate fully in its life and witness? May God bless you and give you the grace to keep the vows you've taken. We're going to have a moment now where I'm going to read some words, which are they coming on the screen? Oh, they're coming on the screen, and we're going to join in three bold lines at the bottom. But before we do, we've also got Clarence and Maureen Scott, who are joining us in transfer of membership from another church. So I'm going to invite them up too. Clarence, Maureen, come and join us here. And people can get to see you, and you can get to see everyone. These are new words from PCI. I'm going to read the words on the screen, and then there's a similar line three times over. It's join us as we worship him together, join us as we live for him together, and join us as we serve him together, that we'll all say together at the end of each paragraph. As a community ruled by God the Father, redeemed by God the Son, and led by God the Spirit, and in welcoming you as new members to this church, we too make these affirmations. We affirm the apostles' faith and the covenant calling of our baptism to be the people of God. Join us as we worship him together. We humbly share our commitment to live together as a community, seeking to be obedient to Jesus in everything. There's no part of our life together which we refuse to submit to his lordship. So join us as we live for him together. And we confidently declare our intention to be witnesses to Christ's transforming presence in our community and beyond, and commit to supporting this mission by praying, giving, and working. Join us as we serve him together. Well, at this point, we're very, very formal, so I offer you the right hand of fellowship. So I'm going to give you a big handshake here, Clarence. Welcome to St. Paul Road, Maureen, John, Jordan, and Sarah, on behalf of our congregation. We'll give them a little round of applause as well, because we're very informal. Folks, it's great to have you with us. At this point, I'm going to invite Alison Templeton to come and pray for you all. We're going to stay standing here. These lot can sit down for a moment or two. Have a seat, and Ali, come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray for our new communicants. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for each new member who has made a public commitment this morning to become part of the St. Field Road family. We pray that Jordan, John, Sarah, and Maureen will feel supported, prayed for, and encouraged as they seek to serve you in this neighbourhood. May each feel welcome in our church family. Thank you for how you have nurtured each one of them on their way to this point. Thank you for those steadfast believers in the past who have sowed seeds of faith into their lives. Thank you for each soul present here today as we celebrate 63 years of Samfield Road. Thank you for the influence and witness past congregations have had on us today. Thank you for how you take each one of us, no matter how big or small, old or young, wise or foolish, with all our quirks, personalities, and peculiarities, and find a place in your family. Thank you for those who are young in their faith journey. Thank you for those who are mature in their relationship with you. Thank you for those who are curious and seeking to deepen their faith further. May we all be inspired by each other and the Holy Spirit to learn more about you, our Creator God. Thank you for how you love us, care for us, and call us to live together with Jesus. Thank you for how you equip each of us for the life journey ahead. Thank you for how you train us to run our race for your glory. Help us to throw off the things which could trip us up and raise our gaze to focus intently on you. Amen.
Folks, welcome and thank you. Do grab a seat. Thank you. Well, just before we sing and you younger guys leave us to head off to JCB and ARC and whatever else, I did say it was our birthday today and we were celebrating that. And you may have noticed on your seats a little plastic pot. Now, this, I want you to think of this as a little birthday present from the church for you this morning. So I put one on every other seat. There's one for every household. There's more than that. There's more out there. So if you haven't got one, you can do some rearranging or grab one off someone. So here's a little present for you this morning from the church. Now, it's a gift to go with today's sermon. So kids, you can ask your mums and dads over lunch or whoever to explain what this is all about, and they can tell you because they'll have been listening carefully. It goes really well with the vows we've just made, in fact, about worshipping God and living as his people and serving him up, in, and out. Now, what this is a multi-purpose gift. It's a repurposed gift, which is very trendy these days. If you've been around St. Phil Road for a long time, you may recognize these. They once had little pictures of the church and a little poem about collecting coins in, and you put your money in there. They've been sitting in our roof space for a while, and I do not want them in our roof space any longer. So here is a great repurposing of a gift with a little message around each one. Now, you can use them very handily. You can use them to keep sweets in, like this. Great. Recommendation, wrapped sweets, they're not particularly clean, or you can use them to keep pens in, oh great, or you can use them to keep teaspoons in, you know, by the very handy. You can keep them on your desk, by your kettle, wherever you like, by your bedside table. Very handy is a little reminder. They serve to remind us of important things we're about as a church in the year and the time ahead. So make sure you have one of those. If you're at home watching this and you want one of those, you've got some still at church, let us know and we'll keep one by for you. I want them all to go. I don't want them in my house any longer. And they're really good things to remind us of what we're about. We'll come back to those later. There's some more out in the hub too. But as we finish, we're going to sing. We're going to finish this bit and the kids go out. We're going to sing Before the World Began. We are the church. So let's stand and sing together.
Died and rose to life, and now he.
As I said earlier, sad to announce the deaths of three of our members, Bobby Copeland, and we just think particularly of his children, Francis and Janine and William, and their families. And his service of thanksgiving for Bobby will be here on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And then Ronnie Smith, and we remember his wife, Liz, and his children, Andrew, David, and Allison, and their families. And a service giving thanks for Ronnie's life will be here on Thursday at 2 o'clock. That's 2 o'clock on Thursday. And then Charlotte Cathcart, and we remember her husband, Terry, and their children, Stuart and Judith, and their families. And a service for Charlotte's life will be held at Rose Lawn, and that'll be a week on Friday, that's the 27th of January at 3:20 at Rose Lawn. In a few moments, Amy's going to lead us in prayer for those families, among other things. But just a few more announcements while I'm here. Life groups are back on from tonight. If you don't know quite where you are, what time you are, do get hold of your life group leader. PW is on Tuesday at 7:30, and Heather's going to be speaking. Come along and hear what Heather has been up to, and you'll be really welcome to come along to that. Next Sunday, as I said, we've got our recommissioning. I'm not quite sure if that's the word or not. That sounds a little dodgy, doesn't it? Anyway, but recommissioning, we're going to stick with that for the moment, of the Timothys, and Nathaniel Jennings from OMF is going to be speaking at that too, and there's lunch for everyone afterwards. Everyone's welcome to that, but do sign up to give an indication of numbers for the caterers. A week on Wednesday, the 25th, There's a service of Christian unity involving local churches around here. That's at St. Ignatius in Carriduff, the White Church. Just as you get up to the roundabout and you turn left, it's just on your left up there, St. Ignatius. Looking ahead, on Sunday the 19th of February, just to get you ready for this, we are going to be the Radio Ulster Morning Service. The live broadcast is going to be from here. So that's at 10:15. So if 11 o'clock is a bit of a struggle for you at the moment, 10:15 that morning, and you're going to have to be here a bit before that, I think, to be in place, so there's no messing around before. 10:15, I'll fill you on the details as we get closer to that, but make sure you're here and looking good for the radio. and then just a little bit before that is the panto. Lucy, come and tell us about that.
As you might know, our church and Knockbreated Church of Ireland are doing a pantomime, Cinderella, in a few weeks' time, with our own Amy McKay playing Cinderella and Dave Rice playing Prince Hunky. Lots of our other Sainfield Road church members are also taking part in it and are going to be, and it's going to be a really fun show. We have three performances, Friday the 3rd of February at 6:30, Saturday the 4th of February at 2 p.m. and 6:30. Tickets are selling fast, so get them quick. You can buy them online at our address or on our Facebook page or website. Or you can get them after church from Zara or Annabelle. Tickets are £12 for adults and £6 for under 16s. If it's cheaper to get them in church, as there's an online admin fee if you're going to buy them on the website. We hope to see you there.
Lucy, we're really looking forward to it. Thank you. In a moment, Cinderella, otherwise known as Amy McKay, is going to lead us in our prayers. As she comes up, you'll know full well that since COVID began, we've got out of the habit of passing around the offering plate, and it's there at the back for you to put your offering into. But we still want to recognize, actually, and come back, maybe something we miss out and we should recognize, is that what we give is part of our worship. So we're not going to get back into passing the plates around. It's still going to be there at the back if you have envelopes to put them in at the start or at the end of the service. But I'm going to ask, as Amy comes up to pray, that Robert's going to bring the offering plate up. Don't worry, there's still a plate there for you to put one in at the end of the service. But just to symbolically recognize that this is what we give as part of our worship, and Amy's going to recognize that as we pray. So Robert's going to bring that up, and Amy's going to come and pray.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment now, we bring ourselves before you. We present all that we are to you and acknowledge that all we have is entirely from you. Help us to be generous givers, Lord, both of our money and our lives, so that we might make a positive difference in this community. Accept our offering as a gift of worship to you, and multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom and for the benefit of those in need. On this, our anniversary Sunday, we thank you for your faithfulness to us over the years. We give you thanks for the dedication and vision you gave to those who were instrumental in establishing and developing your church here in Sainfield Road Presbyterian 63 years ago. When we think of our church, there are so many different things that spring to mind, each one a blessing. The members, the gathering, the meetings, the programs, the joy, the family, the friendship, and the word. We give thanks for all who have been members of this congregation throughout the years, those who have given freely of their time and money, and for those whose wisdom has guided our congregation. And we give thanks for all who have preached and taught here over the decades. We humbly pray that you would guide our elders and members of committee as they meet together. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be in the midst of their meetings to enlighten and direct them, and that all their discussions and decisions would be centred around the welfare of your church, the advancement of your kingdom, and bringing you all honour and glory. Thank you for this body of people you have called together to be your congregation here in Saintfield Road, each at different points in our lives, from different backgrounds and with different stories to tell, but with the one common purpose of worshipping and loving you. Father, we bring before you now the families of those members of our congregation who have sadly passed away this week. Bobby Copeland, Ronnie Smith, and Charlotte Cathcart. We pray for Bobby's children, Francis, Janine, and William, and their families. For Ronnie's wife, Liz, and their children, Andrew, David, and Alison, and their families. And for Charlotte's husband, Terry, and their children, Stuart and Judith, and their families. Hold in your loving arms all who are grieving the loss of family and loved ones. Comfort and be with them in their sorrow. Uphold them with your strength, and through the love shown by others and your presence within their hearts, may they know they are not alone in their time of grief. We turn our thoughts now to those who are sick or in any kind of need. We pray particularly for Moni, who is unwell, and for Johnny as he receives treatment in hospital. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you the names of others who are known to us personally, who are currently unwell in body, mind, or spirit. Father, thank you that our hope for healing is in you. We ask that these people we have brought before you this morning would feel your loving arms surrounding them, your strengthening power sustaining them, and your healing touch upon them, Lord. Would you renew their strength, grant them rest, ease their pain and suffering, calm their fears and anxieties, and bring them comfort and hope through the wonderful truths of your word. In this world that can often seem dark and confusing, thank you that we can be reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. We ask in the next few moments, as we are about to read and hear from your word, that you would humble our hearts and speak to us in a new way this morning as we listen to your voice and shift our focus towards Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on him so that the stresses of this world pales in comparison. Forgive us for being distracted by things that can often seem greener or shinier. The world can never offer what you can, and we ask that you would help us to remember you are the greatest gift of all and the only one who can truly fill us with contentment. We lift the rest of our service up to you now and pray that you would use it for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading this morning is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. The 12 Apostles. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all.
(Clears throat) Amy, Elana, thank you very much. Three is the number of the morning. If today's service was an episode of Sesame Street, it would be brought to you today by the number three. Very pleasingly for me, because I have a slightly mathematically bent mind, and if you have too, we are 63 years old today, and that's beautifully divisible by three. Three times three times seven. Anyway, three, the number of the Trinity. God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Three, the number of sides to a triangle. Three, the number of memorable points in a sermon, as long as they're pithy. Three, the number that our passage, the account that Elana just read to us, splits nicely into. One, Jesus prays, verse 12. Two, Jesus focuses on his disciples, his new true family, verses 13 to 16. Three, Jesus takes his disciples to go and be a blessing to others, verses 17 to 19. One, two, three. We've been talking over the past while more and more as a church about life together with Jesus as what we're about. And today, briefly, at the start of a new year, really, as we come around the Lord's table, I want to just open that up a little bit and give you this simple framework to help give it some shape. Here we are in this passage looking at Jesus modeling life in his ministry and how that models life together with Jesus for us into the coming year and beyond. So Jesus prays to God. Jesus and his disciples are together, and Jesus and his disciples go to others. Life together with Jesus. Up, in, out. Loving God, loving one another, loving others. I've mentioned this before. We've even shown a diagram like this before fairly recently. You've maybe come across this before, but now you have it in your hands to take away, to leave on your bedside table or your desk or by your kettle or wherever. And to look at it and be reminded of what we think about today, to remind you at home. But before we take it away, let's explore and open up a little bit how this might direct us as a church and as individuals as we continue in this life together with Jesus. Let's start with up. Up. It should never fail to strike us as we read this passage and other parts of the Gospels that the most prayerful, dependent person is Jesus himself. It's very easy, isn't it, to think that of all the people who had all the understanding and power and strength they needed at their fingertips right there, who could simply command creation and call people to come and worship him. Why does Jesus need so often to head off and pray like he does at the start of this passage? Clearly, that relationship, the Son with his Father, that dependence on the Spirit of God was his top priority. Jesus makes time and space for it. Before he deals with people, before he goes off and is active and productive, before looking inward and looking outward, Jesus looks upward. He recognizes his Father for who he is. Undoubtedly, he receives affirmation from his Father as he spends this time with him. At the men's breakfast a week ago on Saturday, we were hearing from a guy who's setting up, an organization or a ministry about father figures and about what parents and especially fathers can bring for their children. He was reminding us of the baptism of Jesus, where he heard these great unchanging truths from his Father. You're my son, I love you, with you I am well pleased. What great unchanging truths for a child to hear from a parent. Jesus hears this from his Father. He's undoubtedly wanting to keep his will in line with his Father's will, to depend on the power of the Spirit, not just his human strength. Jesus is above all centered on the loving God and on loving God. And if that's true of Jesus, if that's what Jesus models for human life, isn't that so much more the calling for us to have our lives calibrated, recalibrated upwards? We are the church and we're about one another. Yeah. We are the church and we're about others. Yeah. But before anything, we are the church and we are about God. Maybe it's important to say again here that we use this phrase, life together with Jesus, because we've wanted explicitly to name Jesus Christ as the center of everything we do and everything we are about. We are Christians, Christians. But that isn't to say that we're about Jesus, but we ignore the Father and the Spirit, or to say that we think we have some kind of arm round and matey relationship with Jesus that sidesteps the awe and the majesty and the supernatural power of the Godhead. Rather, when we talk about life together with Jesus, we recognize that Jesus is the person of the Godhead that has been, as it were, put forward, a face put on and revealed as the Word made flesh. We come to Jesus. But when we have life together with Jesus, and in fact, only when we have life together with Jesus, do we enter the true life of God, the three-in-one, Father, Son, and Spirit, where there is awe and intimacy, a mystery and truth, and assurance and the call to obedience, holiness and grace, worship and enjoyment of God. What we mean by life together with Jesus is nothing less than worshiping Father, Son, and Spirit. But anyway, my point is this. There's to be an upward focus and dependence in everything we do. Nothing can ignore that vertical relationship. It would be our greatest peril to lose that. One way that expresses itself is in prayer, isn't it? So how will we be increasingly a praying church throughout this year as we follow Jesus, making time and space and committing to those times and spaces when we pray? So I was really pleased to have at the start of the year, last week, Leslie Ann refocusing us with the Lord's Prayer. And that, rather than any of the plans or words or strategies we might have, that is where it begins and how it continues, isn't it? And it's great to have a number of us at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and we pray every Wednesday fortnight, alternating with life groups, alongside all the other prayer that happens in gatherings and life groups and homes that we have. But do come to the prayer meeting on Wednesdays as we pray for the life of our church and world. And where we seek to develop other moments and initiatives for our praying life, come and be engaged in what Jesus needed to do and we cannot do without. We're also going to want to keep focused in this year and coming years about how we gather on Sundays, our biggest expression, here we are, of life together with Jesus. How we foster a greater worship of and dependence on God, that sense of awe, that experience of His Spirit among us. How we nurture that upward relationship and deepen that faith and trust as we meet. What does that mean for our praise and for our praying, for our teaching? We'll see. For creating time and space around Sunday mornings to learn with one another, to pray with one another, to open up about our walk with God. Becoming more comfortable with asking that question of each other. As brothers and sisters, how are you doing in your walk with God? That was clearly Jesus' primary concern as he went to pray. Up there with Jesus for breathing and eating. Breathing, eating, praying. How he was walking with and trusting his Father. And it must be our concern. As people together and as individuals. So there's a personal question as you look and you can look on the upside. There's a little personal question about loving God. As this face faces you and you look at it of a day, on any particular day, how am I walking with and trusting God my Father today? What time and space are we taking? What time and space do we need to carve out? If about regularly coming on a Sunday morning in our daily lives and routines. As you and me. How do we follow Jesus in walking with and depending on God? Well, that's up. What about in? After Jesus has spent the evening praying, he gathers his disciples. He chooses those who are going to be his apostles, the foundation of the church. It's some group, actually, of possibly various ages and backgrounds and gifts and lots of different views. A group of people who may not have naturally rubbed along together. A group of people who would have been tested. One of them, we learn, would be a traitor. Actually, I don't know if you've watched this. We've been watching as a family Traitors. People have watched Traitors. We're only partway through, so if you've watched it, don't spoil it for us. What happens? It's fascinating watching how a group of people work when they're dubious about others' motives. But Jesus didn't pick disciples to be dubious about each other and to be standoffish with each other, but to follow him and grow together in faith and in love and serving one another, to be his family. That's why we talk about life together with Jesus, because it's more than life with Jesus, like it's just a personal me and Jesus relationship, but it's life together as Jesus' disciples, his family. However much of a varied family we may be, however much in ordinary life we may or may not rub along together. So at SRPC, we think of discipleship, following Jesus, as something we do together. And that fits in with our worship together on Sundays, but also happens in lots of different ways and groups. Not least in our youth and children's work, and in our life groups. All of this we want to keep on encouraging. And in particular, we're reimagining how our life groups might best help as many of us as possible to find encouragement and discipleship together. But we're also focused on nurturing how we each play our part in looking out for one another and serving Jesus' family as part of it. With Johnny being off, it's been great to hear from him, and he was saying this again to me this morning, from his vantage point, how he has really experienced the love and care of a church family. It's been great to see how lots of people serve and continue to serve and step in to serve where needed. We were saying at the men's breakfast it probably took about 8 or 10 of us to fill in just for Johnny. But all over St. Phil Road, I see people caring for others and serving the church family. And that's something we want to encourage in every way, from Sunday to life groups and any gathering. And of course, the more you're involved, the more you benefit. But while I'm encouraged by Johnny's experience in that regard, we want to ensure that no one slips through any cracks and that we're functioning well as a loving, serving family of God's people. So one thing we're looking at, and perhaps the word is upgrading, is our structure of pastoral districts. You know how it is when on your phone it kind of updates overnight and you get an upgrade system on your phone. And there's a sense of continuity because it's the kind of the similar working to how it was before. But there's also the changes that seek to make it work a bit better and do the things you want to do more smoothly. Of course, there's a bit of getting used to changes on your phone or in any system, isn't there? But they're there to make things better. So what we're looking at in session as we think about our pastoral structures is an upgrade that has some sense of continuity with the structures we have, but it's looking to make changes that better use our gifts, not just the elders' gifts, but other people with pastoral gifts in the congregation. An upgrade that more comprehensively tries to make sure that people don't fall through any gaps and get forgotten about, but rather accounts for everyone, where we're at. An upgrade that develops ways to encourage each other as a family to know and love and serve one another. Well, there'll be more about that to come as the year goes on. But that's the second side of the triangle, isn't it? The looking in, looking towards one another, loving one another. What that might mean for us as a church, but how we're also regularly asking that personal question, how could I serve Jesus' family? What's the opportunity or area of service or the need that I could do something about? Who could I phone to see how they're doing Who could I drop in with to bring food or just listen to or read with or babysit for? How might it make a difference if I go to life group tonight and my being there simply is an encouragement to others who are there? Who could I commit to be praying for? How could I serve Jesus' family today or this week or in the coming months? And then finally, out. Out. There in verse 17, Jesus heads off the mountaintop with his disciples and to where people are at. People from all over, people in need, people who are looking to find healing and life with Jesus. And Jesus takes his disciples out to bring that blessing of his kingdom to others. And you know, every week as we gather like this, and we gather together to look upward and to grow inwardly, the Spirit of Christ then takes us out to bring the hope of life together with Jesus to others. Now, when we think of going out, we can think of a far out. We have a passion to support mission overseas as a church. We want to keep that. We have our mission board now up in the hub with the Mwangis in Kenya. PW are hearing from Heather on Tuesday. We're sending the Timothys off next week back to Japan. And we want to support people in ministry and mission work closer by. Johnny and Alf and Dave and Joanne and Gordon and David and others. All this remains vitally important. But we continue to ask the challenging question that I remember we looked at when I first came here. Where do we live and how do we live for Jesus here? Who are we praying for around us? How can we be a blessing just out there? We've talked in session about wanting this building to have porous walls. If you look up, I don't know if you've ever noticed, lots of holes in the ceiling. But what does it look like to have porous walls too? The easiness of people to come in here from outside. The naturalness of us going out to others. All to share life together with Jesus. And you know, there's lots continuing to bubble up among us as we think outward this year and beyond. Think of the people who come in to use this building. I said there were 4,000, but there were actually 91 people at Tiny Tots on Wednesday. 50 children and 41 adults. And we love to provide this, but ultimately, we're not just a service provider. We want people to have a relationship with us and upward with God. There are hordes coming into the Vibe on a Friday night. Many, not particularly from a church background. Though in the past year or two, we've seen some move into Red, our youth fellowship. And we'd love to see that more and more in connection with the families. The Girl Guides meet here and we'll have an all-age service with them at the end of February. People come here weekly to do Pilates. We give cards and messages and chocolate out to 450 homes around us a couple of times a year. I think they're getting to quite like the chocolate. We have a great relationship with Cairns Hill Primary. We've got parents and children with a connection there. We've got two governors, two elders are governors there. I go in and do assemblies from time to time. Their Christmas concert happened here. And the school play is happening here at the end of March. What a great relationship there. We've developed a good relationship with Highbank, as well as having the governor and our senior officer here a few weeks ago, you remember. We sang at their Christmas concert. Some of their staff and residents came to our Christmas carol service. We gave the staff who were working on Christmas a little present. We've been invited back again to sing at their spring concert. Some of our members are meeting with residents to talk and help them with literacy and numeracy and just chat with them. There's an opportunity to offer welcome and help to Hong Kong families living in our area. What a lot of opportunities. What opportunities do we make the most of then? How are we praying about this? What strikes you as something with real potential there? Something we or you might be involved with. And then, as I've mentioned before, as a church, we've been called to be a help and a blessing to our sisters and brothers in Beaver Presbyterian, where there's a small, faithful gathering and a large number of people living around who need to know the truth and the blessing of Jesus. We've been talking and working at what a close partnership between the churches could look like and working out how best we can do that. I hope in the not-too-distant future we can share more of that with you. It could be a really exciting and challenging moment for us. This is not an upward, inward club. As Jesus' family, his disciples, he takes us out with him, carrying the light and blessing of the Spirit to bring the hope and the healing and the truth of the kingdom to the world. And again, then, we should openly ask, how is the Spirit wanting to use us, to use me, you, to be a blessing to someone? Up, in, out. Loving God, loving one another, loving others. It can be easy because of our personality or our particular gifts or something about our church culture here to drift to one or two that we favor. But life together with Jesus is about all three. The triangle helps remind us that we need to keep our eye on all three. As a church, that will encourage and challenge us to consider our prayer life, our Sunday gatherings, our discipleship in life groups, our pastoral structures, our witness to those in this geographical community, our partnership with Beaver and those further afield. But for each of us, it brings us back to that regular checkup. As we grab a sweet, or a pen, or a teaspoon, or put some money in the box, whatever you want to do with it, look at it on your bedside table. How am I walking with and trusting God, my Father, today? How could I be serving Jesus' family in this moment? How might the Spirit use me to bless someone? Well, as you think about these questions, but before you take this away, the Lord wants to feed and encourage us at his table and to remind us profoundly that while this might mean challenge for us as a church and for you and me, it's not ultimately about us. It doesn't ultimately come from us, but it's all through Christ in us. Let's pause for a moment, and as we come to the Lord's table, we're going to sing that song, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and never is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free.
So we come to share in communion around the Lord's table together. Let's remind ourselves what happened when Jesus ate this supper with his disciples, those disciples we heard him choosing, his family. Paul writes, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Jesus invites us to participate in this amazing way God has given us to speak of his love for us, of what he's done for us in Christ and continues to renew in us by his Spirit as his family who gladly trust him. We say this meal is open for all true believers. It's not closed simply to the communicant members of Saintfold Road, though we delight to welcome John and Jordan and Sarah and Clarence and Maureen this morning. But it's open to all of us who are sorry for our sins and sincerely desire to follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If that's not you, please don't feel embarrassed about just passing on to the next person. If you are here, perhaps more recently among us, and this is your faith, and you're saying, this is my church, this is my church family, like these folk have this morning, and you're wanting to take communion regularly with us, well, please do come and talk to me about becoming a communicant member. But we come because we're invited to receive with gladness. We come young and old. We come maybe as those with much faith, probably as those who would love more. We come as God's people who have tried to follow Jesus and as those who have failed. But we come because Jesus invites us to meet with him and know the grace and the joy and the promises that are ours through him. It's a sign of our oneness as a family in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one hope, one Father. We were singing it earlier. We are the church. We're going to say together the Apostles' Creed. Remain seated, but the words will come up on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we unite in saying our faith together, let's unite in prayer together. Let's pray. Father God, you invite us to share together in this meal around your table, and here we are. We come looking up to you, our loving God, in worship and in thanksgiving, looking to receive from you and be renewed by you. Lord, speak to us again of what you have done through your Son. Jesus, your life, your death, your resurrection for us, that we may know you and know forgiveness and life with you. Holy Spirit, assure us again that we are your people, holy and dearly loved, that you are with us and our future with you is guaranteed through Christ who will come again. Father, we come looking inward. Inwards at ourselves and so grateful that even though we do not deserve a seat at your table, you still invite us to come. But looking in and around at each other too. Thank you for one another, that we are one family in Christ, called to love and serve each other. And here we share in this meal together. We thank you that we share this faith with all your people around the world and all the saints in glory. Lord, we come looking outwards. You call us through this to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So move among us by your Spirit as we eat and drink and seal in us these great promises you've given us through Jesus. Strengthen us through this meal to be a distinctive and a living witness to the world around us of your good news of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, the elders will come up. Some of the elders will come up. And the bread will come to you and pass along. Just keep it passing along the row there. It's all gluten-free. Take a piece, but hold it, and we'll all eat together. I'll lead us in all eating together as a sign of our oneness in Christ. And then we'll do the same with the wine, which is all non-alcoholic. Hold it, and we'll drink it together. And then afterwards, if you just hold on to your glass carefully, or place it on the floor underneath, we'll collect them at the end. These, remember, are the gifts of God given for the people of God. Take them, remembering that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. So the bread, a sharing in the body of Christ, will come to you now. body of Christ was broken for us. Amen. Cup, our sharing in the blood of Christ will come to you now. The blood of Christ was shed for us. God of grace, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. May this strengthen us in our knowledge of your love and our love for you and others. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So on this anniversary service, we close with, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
treasure of thanks for young and old, for common and nation, Lord of our land, we praise you here above. Lord, for our world, when we dishonor and doubt him, love, blessing, strength, and comfort, blessing.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face.